الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آية 159 من سورة آل عمران. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. So pass over their faults, ignore their faults, pardon their faults, and ask Allah's forgiveness for them, and consult them in the affairs. Then when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah. Certainly Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. This ayah is a fundamental ayah in da'wah. And I remind myself, first and foremost, and then you, to try to apply it to the best of our ability. Because in da'wah, you often face situations where you have to be kind of tough. And sometimes it is appropriate to be tough, and sometimes it is not. So one should evaluate the situation and try to set aside their personal inclinations or their personal preferences or even their personal involvement in an Islamic matter, so that when the da'wah takes place, it will not become, I'm trying to get back for my rights. I'm trying to, you know, get even with the person for having attacked me. These should not be, alaykum salam, the objectives. Justice, i'dilu, huwa aqrabu lit-taqwa. Allah said, yani, be just, this is closer to piety. However, so the asl, the fundamental principle is what? Lenience. And it's amazing, the Arabic and the English. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُ. And to Fir'aun, Allah said to Musa and Harun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. And the English word is lenience. It's the same thing. Lenience. So almost the Arabic and the English are almost the same. They refer to the same word. There are many examples like that. Like jarra is jar in English. Jarra in Arabic, jar in English. And maybe there are maybe a few words that you will find that they're almost the same, both in Arabic and in English. Because English is a combination of Anglo-Saxons with French, with Finnish language, with a whole bunch of other languages, all, you know, mumbled together into what we know today as English or the modern English. على كل حال ما في مشكلة. The asl then is to be lenient, is to be kind. When you speak to the people, when you give them da'wah, then you chill out. But this is the principle, and there are always exceptions to the rule, depending on the person you're giving da'wah to, depending on the situation, depending on the nature of their violation. There are times where being lenient is ineffective. Wa alaykum salam. Is what? Ineffective. And what is the ultimate objective of da'wah? Is getting results. It's not just some ritual you do, and it doesn't matter what happens afterwards. You make the da'wah with the intention of producing effective results. If the results are ineffective because of the people themselves, that's not your business. But if the results are ineffective because of a deficiency in our delivery, in our da'wah, then that's a problem. using this lousy, ugly, silly, ridiculous Facebook, even though you just use it for da'wah, a lot of problems arise in this Facebook. Or any other thing, YouTube, and the comments that the people leave on the lectures. You want to be lenient and kind as a general principle, but there are times where you cannot do that. And when sometimes when you're a little harsh, then people leave other comments and say, but that wasn't nice. The way you said it wasn't good. The way you did this was, listen man, chill out. The person given da'wah has his own evaluation elements. Yes, we may make mistakes. We may think that it's appropriate to be harsh, but it is not, no doubt. I'm not saying anyone's going to become perfect. But people usually know one thing, lenience. They don't know the other one, so anytime they see anything which opposes lenience, they criticize it. So you tell these people, come here man, come. Let me give you some narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he walked in the masjid and he seen a man lying down on his stomach. What did he do? Does anyone know? What did he do to him? He kicked him. He what? He kicked him. And he said, get up. This is a manner of sleeping which Allah Azza wa Jal hates. Now, the relationship between this man and the Prophet ﷺ must have been one where the Prophet ﷺ found it feasible and suitable to deal with this Sahabi in this particular manner because the situation allowed it or allowed it. It could be that you're dealing with another individual whom you know. If you were to kick in this fashion, he will throw a fit. And he's one of these people who are, you know, short tempered or whatever. Then in his case, then you tap him on his back and say, excuse me, akhi barakallah, this manner of sleeping is inappropriate. Another narration, all these are all authentic, sahih. The Prophet ﷺ seen a man wearing a gold ring. Did he tell him, did he stand and give a khutbah, say, gold is haram for the men of my ummah? No. Waalaikum salam. He pulled the ring out of his hand. He threw it on the floor. And he said, does one of you go about placing a ring of fire around his finger? Yani, because it's haram, it's as if you're putting the fire, as if you're placing yourself in Jahannam because of wearing gold. He threw it on the floor. When the Prophet ﷺ walked away, his companions told the man, pick up your ring. Pick up your ring, benefit from it. It was gold. Prophet ﷺ told him what? Don't wear it. Did he say don't keep it? Don't benefit from it? No. He just didn't allow him to wear it. He took it off, threw it on the ground. His companion said, pick up your ring. He said, I was never to pick something which the Prophet ﷺ threw on the ground. This was the love they had. This is the obedience they had to the Prophet ﷺ. Once the Messenger of Allah threw it on the floor, I would never pick it up afterwards, even just to sell it and make money. No. Because the Messenger of Allah threw it on the ground. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with this Sahabi according to the situation. And even if you read with Musa and Harun, when Musa spoke to the magicians in Surah Taha, when the magicians came together, Musa admonished them. He said, لا تفتروا على الله كذبا فيسحتكم بعذاب. Do not forge a lie against Allah, otherwise He will eradicate you with a punishment. So the idea is, even though the principle is lenience and kindness and gentleness and all the lovely stuff, there are situations where you have to be sharp like a sword. Depending on what? Many different elements. And people are on one of two extremes. Either lenient all the time, even the time where, for example, khutbah al-jum'ah, no problem, okay? Khutbah al-jum'ah is not a time for you to crack jokes, and it is not a time for you to be soft-spoken. Not on jum'ah. Not on jum'ah. So some people want to be, you know, they want to show that they're nice. brothers in Islam, it is very important to come to Jumu'ah.
People are sleeping while you're screaming. Let alone when you speak in this fashion. So now, this gentleness is against the Sunnah. Because when the Sahaba described the Prophet on during Jumu'ah, they said his eyes would become red, his voice would become loud, and he would become angry, as if he was a general in the army, warning his soldiers, you are going to be attacked in the morning, you are going to be attacked at night. This is how he used to deliver the khutbah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, during the khutbah there may be times of ease, but the general principle is that this is not a time for you to be soft-spoken. Why am I saying this? Because don't go to extreme by being lenient all the time when you wind up going against the sunnah and the lenience. And don't be harsh, like some of the brothers also, whom you can never have a decent conversation with. Everything is rough and mean and extreme. And they don't entertain anything. And they think everyone is their enemy. So they treat people in this fashion. These are two extremes that we avoid. We remain on the middle course. What is the middle course? That the asl, the principle, is that you're lenient, and an exception to the rule, we don't want to call it harshness, we call it firmness. An exception to the rule is being firm at the times where being firm is necessary. Is that clear? Beautiful. Now the Shaykh says, أي برحمة الله لك ولأصحابك من الله عليك أن ألنت لهم جانبك وقفضت لهم جناحك. Meaning, due to Allah's mercy upon you and your companions, Allah has bestowed the favor upon you, the fact that you have become lenient, أَلَنْتَ لَهُمْ جَانِبَكَ, meaning your side was softened for them. You soften your side, meaning someone can easily approach you and speak to you. You know, some people, you never have a problem speaking to them. Some people, you feel comfortable when you see him. You can tell that he's the kind of guy who becomes a brother, say, listen, I need to speak to you about something. And some people, they put such a barrier where you never have the guts or the courage to even approach them and speak to them about something personal. They're not soft. They don't soften the door for the people to approach. So the Prophet, Allah made him in such a way where he was soft in this fashion. Anyone can come and speak to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about their personal affairs and issues, and they didn't find, even though they used to have awe, when they seen him, some of the Sahaba, like Abu Musa, I believe, he said, if you ask me to describe the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you ask me to describe his physical features to you, I wouldn't be able to do so. They said, why? He said, I never gazed at him out of respect. Yani, he respected him so much that when he would be in his presence, when he would be in his presence, he would look at the ground. Out of respect to the Prophet, he never filled his eyes with looking at him. That's some of the Sahaba. Yani, they had such awe for him. Still, they found that he was soft and he was able, he was approachable. He's someone whom you can come and speak to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَخَفَضَّ لَهُمْ جِنَاحَكَ, and you lowered your wing. All these are metaphorical statements alluding to the idea that one is approachable, one is kind, one is merciful. وَتَرَقَّقْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, again, you were soft, you became lenient towards them. وَحَسَّنْتَ لَهُمْ خُلُقَكَ, and you beautified your character and your manners to them. فَاشْتَمَعُوا عَلَيْكَ, so they all gathered around you. They all gathered around you. وَأَحَبُّوكَ وَامْتَثَلُوا أَمْرَكَ, and they loved you and they carried out your command. This was the result. Because of the character of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba then all gathered around him, they all loved him, and they all carried out his command. So much so, that when he would make wudu, كَانُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وُضُوِهِ, when he would make wudu, they would almost kill each other, just trying to get the leftover water which falls from his limbs. Yeah, if he made wudu and he washed his arm, is it water going to trickle from his elbow? They would
the spit, and they would take it, rub it, and rub their faces with it. Now, you can't do this to any human being today. No matter how much you love them, I mean, no matter what, even your parents, you are not about to get some saliva that they have and you rub your face with it. But this was the love of the Sahaba, the Prophet, and he was a blessed man. Now, we as the Sunnah wal Jama'ah acknowledge and affirm that whatever was, the Prophet was a blessed man, and these were blessings for them. They sought blessings from Allah through these actions. Now, after he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is not applicable to any other man. So the murid of the Sufi was the Sufi Shaykh who claimed that they're doing what the Sahaba did to the Prophet. We say no, because your Sufi Shaykh master is not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why when Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, wasn't Abu Bakr the second best after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was. No one ever did that with him. And when Umar took over, no one ever did that with him. And when Uthman took over, no one ever did that with him, because they knew this was strictly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This honor, this characteristic, this privilege is strictly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't apply to any human being afterwards. Otherwise, I will show you some videos of a Shi'i eating the feces of a so-called Shi'i Shaykh. Wallah. And this wicked, nasty punk had put his hand in his stomach. I don't know how these are the shayateen, by the way. The shayateen of it. He put his hand in his stomach and he pulled out dung. And some of them fell on the carpet, and they have the image of a man coming after collecting them and eating them. In another video, they told him, do you eat the, you know, another man, do you eat the dung? He said, yes, I have the honor to eat the dung of the, you know, Mawlana Ayatullah, Ayat al-Shaytan, really, blah, 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 blah. So now, look, they say, wallah, we're following the sunnah, say, you're following the shayateen. You're not following the sunnah. This was strictly for the Prophet. Anyone else doesn't have these privileges. So we don't seek barakah from any human being. You don't touch your brother and say, wallah, he looks like he's a righteous man, let me get some blessings from him. No. And you don't try to put on his shirt to get a blessing. No. This was something strictly to the Prophet. But anyways, the point being that they loved him, they carried out his command. Today, we're so bad in doing that, it is ridiculous. Yani, look at the Sahaba, someone taking and fighting over a spit to rub his face with it, versus today we say to someone, Akhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, and something very simple that any one of us can do. And even though we claim love, and we claim that we are submitting, and we claim that we have all these good things, little basic things, oh, we can't do them. Oh no, this is not really easy. This is called fake love. This love is of no value in the sight of Allah. True love is not celebrating Mawlid al-Nabawi. True love is obeying Him. Because Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you claim that you love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you. That's it. So to, you know, go like this when you're sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people, you know, they kiss their thumbs and they rub their eyes and all these innovative practices, and they claim that they are loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when you look at them and you speak to them and you see, they see them, the sunnah is here and they are on the extreme opposite side. This is not love. This is fate. And we will get to realize it when it's too late. يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. On the day where the wrongdoer, oppressor, will bite on his hand out of regret, and he will say, I wish I had taken a bath with the messenger. I wish I was upon the sunnah of the messenger. Woe to me had I not taken such and such person as a friend. So they, on the day of judgment, the regret will come. Oh, I wish I followed the sunnah. I didn't listen to my father. Or I didn't listen to my uncle, if he's telling you to oppose the sunnah. Or I didn't listen to my friend at work, who told me, oh, you don't have to do this. Or you've grown up
a bearded man. A bearded man tells him, it looks ugly on you. Shave it, man. Look, you look dirty. I told him, where's this guy? I'm going to go punch this guy in his face as soon as I see him. Yeah, and if he was clean shaven, we would say, start making clean shaven like him. He has a beard, and when this brother tries to grow a beard, he gives him such a hard time. Oh, no, look how you look. Blah, 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 blah. And the guy goes and shaves it. He doesn't have enough iman. He doesn't have enough iman to say, ish, shaitan. Shaitan from the shayateen of human beings. He doesn't have enough iman. He listens to him. So he's having war. When I tell him leave it, he leaves it. When the guy tells him it's ugly, he shaves it. And he remains like this. 1 week with a beard, the next without. 1 week with a beard, the next without. Inshallah, if Allah takes his soul, I hope he takes it when he has the beard. Not when he has taken it away. These are basic, simple things which we cannot even carry out. That's not love. That's the truth. And we have to realize it. So on the day of judgment, we will regret not having done the most basic, simple, simplified things. As the ayah in Surah Al-Furqan clearly states. But the wise man is the one who doesn't wait for that day to realize that, oh, I should have done A, B, C. The wise person is the one who does it from now. So when he's in the, you know, al-Asaf, in the times in the of the day of judgment, he has no regret concerning that. He has no regret, rather, glad tidings to look forward to. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us among the intelligent. طيب. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا أَيْ سَيِّئِ الْخُلُقِ. Had you been evil in your character. Evil in your character. Arrogant. Mean, difficult to deal with. An arrogance is rejecting advice, rejecting the truth. غليظ القلب أي قاسي. And if your heart was hard, your heart was hard, right? Not lenient. لم فضوا من حولك. They would have dispersed from around you. They would have dispersed away from you. They would have left your company. لأن هذا ينفرهم وَيُبْغِضَهُمْ لِمَنْ قَامَ بِهِ هَذَا الْخُلُقِ السَّيِّئِ. Because this naturally will repel anyone who has such a character. فَالْأَخْلَاقُ الْحَسَنَةُ مِنَ الرَّئِيسِ بِالدِّينِ تَجْذِبُ النَّاسِ إِلَى دِينِ اللَّهِ وَتُرَغِبُهُمْ فِيهِ. The good character then is the chief element in the religion which attracts the people to the religion of Allah, and it gives them, يعني, makes them inclined and have an interest in it. مَعْمَا لِصَاحِبِهِ مِنَ الْمَدْحِ وَالثَّوَابِ الْخَاصِ. Along with what the person who has this character will receive of praise and specific reward. وَالْأَخْلَاقُ السَّيِّئَةُ مِنَ الرَّئِيسِ فِي الدِّينِ تُنَفِّرُ النَّاسَ عَنَ الدِّينِ وَتُبْغِضُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. And the bad character is also chief element of the religion which may repel the people from the religion and make him hate it. مَعْمَا لِصَاحِبِهَا مِنَ الذَّنْبِ وَالْعِقَابِ الْخَاصِ. Along with what the person involved will get of blameworthy, blame and special punishment. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. فَهَذَا الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَعْصُومٌ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ لَهُ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا يَقُولُ فَكَيْفَ بِغَيْرِهِ. Now if the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who is ma'soom, who knows what ma'soom is? Ma'soom, huh, Mustafa? Ma'soom. No?
Protected from
a ma'soom is one who has been safeguarded and protected from deviance, disobedience, and the likes. So then ma'soom is someone who is protected. He is, we don't really say flawless, but it's the closest thing to flawless, at least the flaws which will affect someone's character. There may be little things here and there. But it's someone who's infallible in a sense. Not in the ultimate sense, because Allah is the one who's infallible and flawless in the ultimate sense. But someone who is free and protected from errors, major errors, major sins, and according to many of the ulama, even minor sins. Prophet ﷺ never committed a sin, according to a lot, many of the ulama. But that's a whole other discussion right now. It's not the time to elaborate on it. Anyways, so if he, the ma'soom, was told by Allah, if you were such and such, by Allah's mercy you became lenient towards them, and had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have dispersed away from you. He said, then what do we say about others?
If the one who is protected from being going astray had just said to him, then what about those who are beneath him and lesser than him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? أليس من أوجب الواجبات وأهم المهمات الاقتداء بأخلاق الكريمة؟ Isn't it that the most compulsory of compulsory things and the most important of matters to follow him in his character, his noble character, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ومعاملة الناس بما يعاملهم به, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and treating the people the way he treated them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, من اللين وحسن الخلق والتليف, by being lenient and good character and trying to bring them around to the deen, امتثالا لأمر الله وجذبا لعباد الله لدين الله, as means of carrying out Allah's command and attracting and bringing the people to the deen of Allah. In one of the masajid, there's an old man, you know, we can call him, I'm assuming he's in his late 60s, maybe early 70s, even maybe more older than that. He's very old. And mashallah, he prays in the first row, he's, you know, the appearance is on the sunnah and whatever. But he has the worst, well, you don't know him, so it's not considered bad by him, for your information. He has the worst way of giving advice. Yani, imagine, he walks into the masjid, and he sees someone, let's say some of the brothers follow that madhab, that you don't have to pray tahiyyat in the masjid. Right? And you can come and sit down in the masjid, it's not compulsory. If he sees someone sitting down, wallah, you won't believe me. Yani, in the loudest voice, and he doesn't speak English. Now this is what I was referring to. You know, now you cannot be like this. Someone's phone rings in the salah. It definitely disturbs you. And you can tell whether someone knows or what someone doesn't know. But what do you have to do? After you have to get up and go to this person, usually they're afraid. Once you come to them, they get defensive. Alakul. Say, Naseed, you know, ana ma'loom, ana Naseed, ana Naseed. Listen, take it easy, man. We all forget to turn off our phones. I'm not upset with you that your phone rang in the masjid. We're all human beings. I'm speaking about the disco which you have on your phone. That musical, you know, orchestra which we have to hear in the masjid. That you need to change. And if you don't know how to change it, it'll be my honor and pleasure. I have some background on phones to change the ringtone for you. But keep the ringtone halal. Now, often, when you do this, the brother says, "Jazakallah khair, and I don't even know how to change the ringtone anyways, I'm tired of it myself," and he says, "Here, please change it for me." But if you came and you just only spoke, you didn't give him any option, you only screamed at them, he's going to hate you, and he's not going to change the ringtone, and he's going to do this over and over again. Right? But there are times, when you may be harsh with this person, depending on the situation, where you be firm. Let's say you be firm with this person if you know from background that he was advised before, or that he should know better, or whatever other, certain things that would make you assume that he deserves a little firmness, just like Rasulullah did with the man with the gold ring and one who was sleeping on his stomach. But again, these are exceptions. These are not the asal. The asal is kindness and gentleness. Explain your point in a kind way. If they get it, alhamdulillah. If not, you've done your job. طب جميل. ثم أمر الله تعالى بأن يعفو عنهم ما صدر منهم من التقصير في حقه صلى الله عليه وسلم ويستغفر لهم في التقصير في حق الله فيجمع بين العفو والإحسان. جميل. Then Allah commanded that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم pardons them concerning whatever shortcoming they have regarding the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Any shortcomings towards him, Allah asked him to pardon them for that. Then Allah asked him to seek forgiveness for them for the shortcomings they have with Allah. For the shortcomings they have with Allah. So concerning the righteous, pardon them. Concerning So both were expected, and the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to do both. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and consult them regarding any matter or any affairs. أي الأمور التي تحتاج إلى استشارة ونظر وفكر. Concerning matters that require consultation, they require, you know, reflection and thought. فإن في الاستشارة من الفوائد والمصالح الدينية والدنيوية ما لا يمكن حصره ما شاء الله. Because in seeking advice, in consulting others, there are tremendous religious and worldly benefits, that which we cannot even enumerate, but the Shaykh now will mention some of the benefits which come as a result of consulting others, seeking their advice, as opposed to acting independently. Keeping in mind that the Prophet ﷺ, who was he getting instructions from? Allah. Someone who's getting instructions from Allah, does he really need to consult human beings? No. Because no matter what suggestions the human beings have, is it going to be better than what Allah Azza wa Jalla knows, because he knows the future? No. But that shows you that even though the Prophet ﷺ was receiving revelation straight from Allah, and his opinion is sufficient, still, in order to establish the relationship between the leader and the followers, and the brotherly and the brotherhood between the Muslims, and many other benefits, the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to consult them concerning their matters. And we will see that in many different situations, when the Prophet ﷺ consulted the Sahaba, many benefits came about. Many benefits came about. Now let's see some of the actual benefits which the Shaykh mentioned. منها أن المشاورة من العبادات المتقرب بها إلى الله. The first benefit is that consultation is an act of worship in which one seeks nearness to Allah. يعني when you consult your brothers, this is an act of worship. When you refer to someone who has knowledge, who can guide you on how to go about doing some Islamic things, this is an act of worship. That's the first thing. With which you get closer to Allah, because Allah commanded Prophet ﷺ, وَشَاوِرْهُ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and consult them regarding the affair. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ فِيهَا تَسْمِيحًا لِخَوَاطِرِهِمْ وَإِزَالَةِ لِمَا يَصِيرُ فِي الْقُلُوبِ عِنْدَ الْحَوَادِثِ. Ya salam. And also, it is having consideration regarding their feelings. And also, it is means of removing what may occur in one's heart upon accidents. And I'll give you an example. Let's say we're going on a Hajj group together. And let's say that Bustanera Khalid, he was the Amir. He was the one that in charge. He's the leader of this particular group. And he decided that we should leave after Asr. He's the Amir. Technically speaking, he has the right to make these decisions. We as followers don't have the right to oppose him, because he's been assigned as the Amir. So he comes as, guys, we're leaving after us. And some of us, from previous experiences in previous years, have realized that leaving to have after us is not a good idea. Because we will not make it until midnight, and by then we will be tired. Each one has his own opinion. So he comes and he just, khalas, after Asr, we leave. And some of us have other opinions which he does not entertain or consult us concerning. If Allah decreed that we leave after Asr, and exactly what we expected took place, what will happen in your heart? Suggest that we leave after Asr. However, what do you think? And we do some sort of voting. And then we discuss the pros and the cons, the benefits and the advantages and the disadvantages of the time, so that after you put in your 2 cents and your opinion, you may eventually agree to go with him, with his idea, but after what? Mutual conversations, after, you know, whatever. If Allah agreed that what we expected to happen after Asr, because we left after Asr, will you still feel the same way as in the first situation? No. Why? He consulted you, and we all agreed that we will listen, we will take his opinion. the leader was kind enough to consult us, so in case an accident happened, he will not be blamed. You see the benefit of consultation? So the leader, then when he consults the soldiers or he consults his followers, then this is ultimately good. Because in case an accident happened, then the hearts will not have any evil thoughts concerning that. Ya salam, ya salam.
فإن من له الأمر على الناس إذا جمع أهل الرأي والفضل وشاورهم في حادثة من الحوادث اطمأنت نفوسهم وأحبوه وعلموا أنه ليس يستبد عليه. يا سلام.
Because if a person who's been given authority over others, if he were to gather the people of intellect, the people of good advice, the people of virtue, the knowledgeable people, the people who are known for, you know, knowing how to give directions and opinions, and he consults them concerning an affair that took place, then they will find tranquility in that consultation, and they would love him, and they will know that he is not trying to be a dictator. They will know that he's not trying to be a dictator. Why? He discussed it with them. What do you guys think about such and such and such? As opposed to, this is it, don't speak to me. And you know where this also applies? Where we really fail very bad as men? La. Marriage. That's another battle. The battle of marriage, not the battle of bedlam. The women are to be consulted. And how often has the woman's opinion been way superior to that of her husband? Now, the asal is that men, as in men, yani, are more rational and are able to rationalize more than act on emotions. Unlike women, who often act on emotions and they forget about all their rationalism. But there are sometimes, it's not always the case. So it is advisable for the man to have such a relationship not only with his wife, with his children. So what do you think, Baba? Shall we leave at this time? Or do you think it's appropriate that we do this? This will instill in them many, many excellent benefits and an excellent character and self-confidence as opposed to being a dictator. I said, we leave this, don't talk to me. Right? You know, some of us think, you know, they're big shot, they're lying. They're lying in the house, as they say. He's a cat outside. You know, with his friend? Meow! When he goes home, he's alive. Oh. I mean, this is the first time he got a wife and children acting like a big shot. I want to see you lying outside with your buddy. How come you were a rat outside? Now you became a lion in the house. And see, this is from the nonsensicalness of, I don't know if this is a word, the nonsensical behavior of the of men. So one should be also kind to his family, to his wife, his children. The Prophet ﷺ, when they went to do the Umrah in Hudaybiyah, and they were prevented from going to Mecca by the Qurayshis. So the Prophet ﷺ went and told the Sahaba, shave your hair. And the Sahaba were burning with rage to go and do Umrah. And they can't, you know, they're not digesting the idea that these kuffar are preventing us from the house of Allah. So they were very emotional at that stage. So Prophet ﷺ told them, shave your hair. No one did anything. No one did anything. He said it more than once, shave your head, tahallalu, exit from the ihram. No one did anything. So he went inside, distressed. Who was in there with him? Umm Salama, his wife. He told her, ya Umm Salama, I told them and no one is listening to me. She said, go back out and don't say a word. Call your barber. Have him shave your head. He went out and told his barber. As soon as the barber started, everyone started shaving their head. As soon as they seen him shaving his head, they started fighting and they almost chopped each other's heads, getting their heads shaved. Who gave him the advice? His wife, Umm Salama. He receives revelation from Allah. But who did he seek advice from? His wife. Who gave him a sound advice? She knew if they seen him do it, then they will automatically do it. And that's exactly what happened. Now that's the sunnah. He didn't say, I'm the Messenger of Allah. I'm going to say, one of my wives, I'm going to ask him for advice. No, this was not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, we need to follow his footsteps in these matters as well. And wallah, I personally found, sometimes women have the need to, I'm sure everyone here is what they call the equivalence of Romeo to Juliet, inshallah. Even though Romeo and Juliet were a bunch of lousy people, but Muslims are more, you know, it's more befitting for us to follow the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha actually, which was a real genuine love relationship as opposed to the one that is based on haram. Jameel. Now. وأحبوه وعلموا وإنما ينظر إلى المصلحة الكلية العمل الجميع. So then the person in charge should look into the general comprehensive benefit which encompasses all. فبذلوا جهدهم ومقدورا في ضعفه لعلمهم بسعي في مصالح العموم. So then because of that, because of the consultation, they on the other hand, in turn, they strove to the best of their ability to listen to him and obey him because they knew already that he's not trying to be a dictator over them. Yeah, and what was the benefit? That when he consulted them, without imposing on them his opinion, because of that consultation now they were more keen on following him because of the initial consultation as opposed to not consulting and imposing. It wouldn't have been the same. So it's a win-win situation. First you consult them, then you acquire their approval, so there will be further effort exerted in obeying and listening to the commands. بخلاف من ليس له من ليس كذلك فإنهم لا يكادون يحبونه محبة صادقة ولا يطيعونه. Unlike the one who is not like that, you will hardly find these people loving him genuinely or obeying him. It's only by force. يعني they're afraid of the ruler, and because of their fear they obey, not because of love. Not because of love. وإن أطاعوه فطاعة غير تامة. And if they do obey him, it is an incomplete, deficient form of obedience. Why? He hasn't gained their heart. He hasn't gained their approval. ومنها أن في الاستشارة تنور الأفكار بسبب إعمالها فيما وضعت له فصار في ذلك زيادة للعقول. And another benefit of consultation is that in consultation, thoughts illuminate because of working your brain. And in that there's an increase in one's intellect. And in modern day business, what do they call this? Who knows the word? When we come together, say, okay guys, you know, everybody give me what you have, and we write it down on the board, and then we eliminate the things which are relevant. What do we call this in the business world?
Brainstorming.
Brainstorming. And really, have you ever had, who has tried it once in his life? Who has ever attended a brainstorming session? That's amazing. As opposed to not having it. Yani, brainstorming, I say, okay guys, we want to do a dawah course. Okay? Give me all you have. And someone has a paper and a pen. He says, we should do blah, blah, blah. He says, he give me 3-4 opinions. Now we have a list of things which you could never think of on your own. Because you are limited to your experience. His experience is unlike yours. His suggestions are unlike yours. So when you combine everyone's thoughts, what do you have? More knowledge. Now what happens the next time you're doing a brainstorming session? You will use an idea which was proposed by someone else. It becomes yours in this sense. And now you have increased your intellect and your brain. Because you have more experience. Maybe you never thought that we should, you know, the workshop should include fiqh. And someone suggested fiqh. The next time around, you're the first one to say, I think we should have fiqh. It wasn't your idea initially, but this is the benefit of what? Consultation. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And the last one, وَمِنْهَا مَا تُنْتِجُهُ الْإِسْتِشَارَ مِنَ الرَّأِي الْمُصِيبِ فَإِنَّ الْمُشَاوِرَ لَا يَكَادُ يُخْطِئُ فِي فِعْلِهِ وَإِنْ أَخْطَأَ أَوْ لَمْ يَتِمَّ لَهُ مَطْلُوبٌ فَلَيْسَ بِمَلُومٍ. Another benefit is what the result of consultation which brings about the result of consultation being the excellent choice. Yani, getting the target. Aiming at the target and getting the actual target. Why? Because the one who consults hardly ever makes a mistake. Hardly ever makes the wrong decision. And if he makes a mistake or he doesn't get what he wants, he's not blameworthy. Yani, I say, okay guys, what about we leave it after 4 and we have the discussion, and then usually after hearing everyone out, I will either modify according to what you brothers have given me from your experience, or I will stick to my opinion. wasallam, and he is the most complete in his intellectual abilities. He is the most perfect in his intellectual abilities. He is the most grounded in knowledge, the richest in knowledge. وَأَفْضَلُهُمْ, he has the soundest opinions. Now listen to these three qualities. The Prophet ﷺ was the most intelligent. He had the most knowledge and the soundest opinion among them, and still Allah commanded him to consult them regarding the affairs. Then what about anyone who is lesser than him? And it is definitely expected that you consult the people whom you have been placed in charge over in these matters as well. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى فَإِذَا عَزَمْ, and then when you have determined and made the intention to do something, أي على أمر من الأمور بعد الاستشارة فيه إن كان يحتاج الاستشارة فتوكل على الله. So if you have made up your mind concerning a matter which may require after consultation, if it requires consultation, then after that توكل على Allah. Rely and depend and place your trust in Allah. أي يعتمد على حول الله وقوته متبرئا من حولك وقوتك. Depend on Allah's power and Allah's facilitation, and do not depend and rely on your power and your skills that will bring about, that you think will bring about facilitation. إن الله يحب المتوكلين. Verily Allah loves those who rely upon Him, أي عليه أي اللاجئين إليه, those who return to Him and place their trust in Him. With that, inshallah ta'ala, we would like to conclude today's session. We have stopped at ayah number 160. And وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.